This is GQDN for Friday, July 25th, 2025. Brought to you today by Audible. Go get your free credit. audibletrial.com/GQ25. By swiftenergy.gg, go get those delicious, delicious drink mixes, including the one called Quest Worthy. If you do that, you get some really good stuff. Use the promo code QUEST, get 25% off of your purchase. That too is really good stuff. By patreon.com/thegroupquest. Lots of stuff up there, more stuff coming up tomorrow. Sad stuff, I'm afraid, but still, stuff. And by stackup.org. In today's news, we got some good stuff. Well, most of it is. We got an expansion coming. We got Super Mario Party Jamboree going to Switch 2. Elden Ring goes to two-player mode. But we got to continue on the Microsoft layoffs, because pure Xbox did say that the CEO of Microsoft did make a statement and doubled down on AI. Yes, that's Satya Nadella, and he was talking about how Microsoft is moving forward. Now, he did start off by talking about the company's recent layoffs, and he did say that he was saddened by them in the recent weeks. And he did say where all the people that were let go, quote, have shaped who we are as a company, end quote. But here is what he said, quote, before anything else, I want to speak on what's been weighing heavily on me, and what I know many of you are thinking about, the recent job eliminations. These decisions are among the most difficult we have to make. They affect people we've worked alongside, learned from, and shared countless moments with our colleagues, teammates, and friends. I want to express my sincere gratitude for those who have left. Their contributions have shaped who we are as a company, helping build the foundation we stand on today. And for that, I am deeply grateful, end quote. Now, after saying all that, he did go into talking about AI. For the quote, to deliver on our mission, we need to stay focused on our three business priorities, security, quality, and AI transformation. We are doubling down on the fundamentals while continuing to define new frontiers in AI, end quote. So, Microsoft is going to AI. Yeah, we're talking about this tomorrow night. But apart from that, PlayStation Lifestyle did say that the support for PlayStation 4 will come to an end. And some of the owners are relieved about that. So, yeah, a lot of the developers and publishers are dropping support for PlayStation 4. And the PlayStation 5 players does seem to be happy about that. The ones that are dropping PlayStation 4 on a major part are games like Call of Duty and possibly Battlefield 6, because Battlefield 6 will not be coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So, at Battlefield on X said, quote, lock and load for the ultimate all-out war experience in Battlefield 6. Live gameplay stream hits July 31st. If you go to the PlayStation Store page, Battlefield 6 doesn't list any platforms. And it wasn't just the EA game side, it was also the EA Sports game side, because Madden NFL 26 is also skipping PlayStation 4. So one of the fans got up on X and said, quote, the game will be so limited if they cater to low-end hardware, end quote. Someone else said, quote, Call of Duty should follow suit with Black Ops 7 as well, end quote. One of the Reddit users said, quote, companies refusing to let them last-gen consoles go is why generation of consoles stunk. I'm cleaning up the language a little bit. But another person said, quote, last-gen should have been ditched 4 years ago, end quote. In fact, Modern Warzone on X did say, quote, Battlefield 6 will not be releasing on the last generation consoles like Xbox One and PlayStation 4, end quote. So how many more games will drop support for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One? We shall see. Oh, Game Informer said that Dying Light, The Beast, is delayed by 1 month And the developer Techland did make that announcement. Instead of launching on August 22nd, Dying Light the Beast will release on September 19th. And they did provide a statement on the press release. It said, quote, "We understand that this may be disappointing, but our experience has shown how important the first impression is. With just four additional weeks, we can address final details that make all the difference between good and great. Areas we want to improve include fine-tuning the balance of gameplay elements, looking into clarity of UI, increasing the quality of physics, as well as tweaking cutscenes and player animations further, as well as adding little or less little details." So, if you want the game, it will launch on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC for $60. So it's doing a little polishing, but what if you want to play with a friend? Game Informer did say that Elden Ring Nightreign will now get a two-player mode, and that starts next week. In fact, that'll be on July 30th with update 1.02, because that will introduce dual expeditions, and that will allow Nightreign to be played with only two players instead of three. So, how will the game experience will balance? Well, that's unclear. We don't know how balanced it will be. But Game Informer did like that addition, because the next update will also bring some UI improvements, such as the relic filtering options. And they also said that what we said yesterday is Elden Ring Nightreign has surpassed 5 million downloads since launching on May 30th. But it's not CD Projekt Red. They're making a new game via WCCF Tech because there's a job posting and they're calling it Project Hadar, which is a new IP from the studio. Now, they're suggesting that the game will have some major focus on some close-range combat. Bang, bang. But some of the required qualifications won't reveal anything about the game, such as experience in working with Unreal Engine 4 and Unreal Engine 5, because the studio did announce that the Epic's engine would power future projects. Now, Project Hadar is one of the many projects that are in development at CD Projekt Red, which will include the sequel to Cyberpunk 2077, which right now is known as Project Orion, and along with the new Witcher, The Witcher 4, which was revealed last year at the Game Awards, is also online in development. So, CD Projekt Red is quite busy. Busy, busy, busy. Borderlands 4 is ready for a PlayStation 5 launch. Well, Square did say so, and they are liking the FPS. And which, by the way, before going to PlayStation, Borderlands has already gone gold. That's right, they've already gone gold. But if you want it on your PlayStation 5, it will come September 12th. It'll cost you $70, because right now it's available for pre-order, both physically and digitally, on the PlayStation Store now. And yes, there are more expensive options, offering some access to the post-launch expansions. The Deluxe Edition will get you free access to four DLC packs when they release, and the Super Deluxe Editions offer six. So it sounds like if you want the complete game, you'll have to get the Super Deluxe Edition. $70? That's not going to be the price. Sounds like it's going to be a little bit more than that. All right, let's hit the esports corner, because Monty Esports, according to Esports Insider, did sign Aremius Bimas Paprius. Sorry about that. I butchered the name. And Oscar Azuwu Bell to their Counter-Strike 2 roster. Now, they signed those two because two players did leave, and that is Lean and Haji. And those two left there this past June. But bringing Bimas and Azuwu, it is thought now that that would strengthen the roster. But Monty also went after Afro on a long-term deal. So that is going to be very interesting for them going forward. How will this all play out? Well, that's what we don't know. Because Monty had to make those moves because in the Valve regional standings, right now they're ranked 73rd. So we'll see what happens. See if the rankings do go up for them. And you know, if you're into esports, you gotta have some monitors. PC Games N said right now, you can save $120 on a Samsung ultrawide gaming monitor. But you might want to get to it. It's on Amazon. It's the Samsung Odyssey G5. And right now, it is $280. 34 inches. Yep, that's the size of the screen. 165 hertz. That's the refresh rate. And it's a 3440 by 1440 screen. And yes, it is curved. Resolution is QHD wide 1440p. And it does look good. You know what you could play on it? Or you know you could stream from your Nintendo Switch 2 now, right? It might be SpongeBob SquarePants. Because it looks like it's Rumorville. Yeah, better pack the kids up. This could be in development. Because Billy, he's at it again, said that the new game that is titled SpongeBob SquarePants, Titans of the Tide, could be in development and could be released on November 18th. Once again, it's all Rumorville. The game could be developed by Purple Lamp. It'll be on Nintendo Switch and other platforms that could be priced at $40. Yeah, we'll see. But we do know what's coming to Nintendo Switch 2. And it is Super Mario Party Jamboree. And the Jamboree is going to be huge. Super Mario Party is a hit thanks to the accessibility and all the co-ops that go with it. Thanks, Games Hub. So when will it be coming to Switch 2? Well, I don't see a date for it. Not on the site, but it is being developed for Switch 2. Bring the party, y'all. It'll be good. GameSpot said that Assassin's Creed Shadows Claws of Azure, the expansion, could launch this September. Well, not just could. Ubisoft said so. September 16th, and the new expansion will be free to anyone who pre-ordered the game, but it could also be purchased separately if you missed the pre-order window. So if you pre-ordered the game, you get the game. You get the expansion. So what could be in this? Well, you could synchronize all your viewpoints in a region. The fog will lift. You'd have the ability to skip time of day, jumping ahead to dusk or dawn. There's a new Forge upgrade level to reach Mythic from Epic and Artifact from Legendary equipment rarities. Get some hideout updates and upgrades. A uncapped frame rate for cutscenes on PC. Additional goodies that might be familiar from longtime series fans. And some bug fixes are becoming in a future update. The level cap will go from 60 to 80. And we'll have some new mystery ranks to it. And some knowledge skill ranks. And some upgrades for your hideout buildings. I wonder if the cast from the Fantastic Four would play it. Now, they don't. But Eurogamer did say that they did find out about Sue Storm's Malice skin. They did talk about it too. And this is all ahead of Comic-Con, which is happening, I believe, right now in San Diego. If not, it starts Saturday, I think. And that skin is in Marvel Rivals. In fact, Marvel Rivals got up on X and said, quote, "Meet the family, Marvel Studio, the Fantastic Four, first steps, cast genuine reactions as they try out Marvel Rivals." So yeah, they were playing the game. And while they were asked if they played the game before, some of them said no. But when they sat down to play the game, they went through and checked out all the different transmogrifications, basically the equipment that they could wear, the costumes they could wear, and some of the other things there to it, trying to play the game and, you know, beat some other players. Because they were up with the YouTuber Loser Fruit, and they were having some fun. And Vanessa Kirby, which plays Sue Storm, Invisible Woman, while playing the game, did talk about the costume. And while asked about it, well, she said, quote, "Thank you. This is my favorite bit of her as well," end quote. So it looks like she liked it. That's good. Maybe we are too. This has been a Dawnforge production 2020, or Dawnforge production. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying, because this has been a Dawnforge production. All rights are reserved. Tomorrow, twitch.tv/Dawnforge. for the weekly show, and I think I'll know what I'll be saying then. I'm not sure anymore. Anyway, go play some video games, people. We'll see you tomorrow night. Bye.